First reading for this 14th Sunday after Pentecost is found in the book of the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, chapter 15. This will serve as the basis for our meditation this morning. O Lord, you understand. Remember me and care for me. Take vengeance for me on those who persecute me. You are slow to anger. Do not take me away. Keep in mind that for your sake I bear disgrace. Your words came to me and I devoured them. Your words became my joy, the delight of my heart, because I bear your name, O Lord, God of armies. I did not sit with the band of partygoers, nor did I celebrate with them. I sat alone because your hand was upon me. You filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unending? Why is my wound incurable, refusing to heal? Will you be as deceptive as an intermittent stream to me, like a source of water that a person can't depend on? Therefore, this is what the Lord says. If you repent, I will take you back, so that you may stand before me. If what you say is worthwhile and not worthless, you will be my spokesman. They must turn to you, but you must not turn to them. I will make you like a bronze wall to this people. They will fight against you, but they will not overcome you, because I am with you to save you and to rescue you, declares the Lord. I will rescue you from the hand of the wicked, and I will deliver you from the grasp of the ruthless. The word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He got what he deserved. An elite athlete wins a Most Valuable Player award, and commentators go on and on and on about how that athlete deserved that reward for his hard work, for his discipline, for his excellence in the sport. He got what he deserved. A criminal gets a major sentence for a major crime. Or a villain on the screen gets a just punishment. Afterwards, we look at that and people say that that criminal or that villain got what they deserved for their evil activity. Same statement. He got what he deserved. Two different outcomes. Now, most people see hard work, faithfulness, excellence, discipline as qualities that deserve reward, while cheating, lying, violence, brutality, disregard for the law, those are things that we think deserve punishment. And so what do we deserve? Everyone has their own opinion, but when we start talking about Christians getting what they deserve, the answer to that is it's ultimately not up to us to answer that question. In fact, we're confronted with our own couple of questions. Do Christians always get what they deserve? Do Christians always deserve what they receive? So we ponder these questions. The Lord helps us to understand further what kind of a church he wants. A church that takes up its crosses. And to help us understand that, the Lord allows us to listen in on a conversation he has with his frustrated, weary prophet, Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah thought he deserved better. The Lord had called Jeremiah to a difficult ministry. His primary purpose was to proclaim judgment on the kingdom of Judah. His sermons, week in and week out, day after day, were judgment. These people had rejected the Lord. Now, we're not sure when he made this complaint, this lament to the Lord that we find in Jeremiah 15, but we do know it comes right after he delivered yet another crushing sermon of God's holy law. God had condemned his people this way. You have rejected me. You have turned away from me. So I will stretch out my hand against you and destroy you. I am weary of showing compassion. I will make you serve your enemies in a land you do not know, for my anger is kindled in me. Amen. Who of us would want to hear that kind of a sermon? Or just ends like that. The people of Israel, the people of Judah, didn't want to hear it either. And so they mocked him. They ridiculed Jeremiah. They mistreated him. They persecuted him. They made his life miserable. When Jeremiah came around, people either glared or they turned their backs on him to laugh behind his back. He had few friends. He had no family. God had actually commanded him to not marry. And so his life was lonely and there was little relief from the daily preaching of God's judgment against the kingdom of Judah. This is God's last warning to his people before destruction would come. Nothing seemed to go well for this guy. But when no one listened, even when no one listened, Jeremiah did not give up. In fact, he remained faithful. He kept proclaiming the message that God had given him to proclaim. And so you can understand that after a while, that gets kind of frustrating, and Jeremiah started to think he deserved better. You can understand why Jeremiah cried out to the Lord. This is what he said. Oh Lord, you understand. Remember me and care for me. Take vengeance for me on those who persecute me. You are slow to anger. Do not take me away. Now, Jeremiah knew that his only hope was in the God of free and faithful grace. But he feared that God would allow him to be swept away right along with all those who had rejected the Lord. And he wanted quick deliverance. And so the prophet reminded the Lord of his faithful service. Keep in mind that for your sake I bear disgrace. Your words came to me and I devoured them. Your words became my joy, the delight of my heart, because I bear your name, O Lord God of armies. The ironic thing with all this is people blame Jeremiah for the problems in their society. He was just so negative. If he just wouldn't preach so negatively all the time and have such harsh preaching all the time, then things would get better. Yet he remained faithful to the Lord no matter what. When the Lord gave him his word, Jeremiah says he devoured it. It became his joy. It became his heart's delight. Nevertheless, Jeremiah got frustrated. He impatiently demanded that the Lord come through for him. Why don't you act fast enough, Lord? And so his lament just pours out. I did not sit with the band of partygoers, nor did I celebrate with them. I sat alone because your hand was upon me. You filled me with indignation. Jeremiah was alone, isolated. His message excluded him from others, especially when God made him angry over the pagan reveling of the people. So Jeremiah thought he deserved better, and so his frustration just boils over. Why is my pain unending? Why is my wound incurable, refusing to heal? Will you be as deceptive as an intermittent stream to me, like a source of water that a person can't depend on? Why didn't the Lord act? Why keep showing patience to these people who rejected the Lord again and again? Why allow these people to make his prophet's life so miserable? Why didn't they get what they deserved? Was the Lord like a dried up spring for a thirsty man where like there's no relief whatsoever for him? And so Jeremiah went a step too far. He blames God for his problems. He forgets what he really deserved. How often don't you and I unintentionally blame God too? We often think we deserve better for serving Christ. We get up on Sunday mornings for worship, maybe even Bible study in Sunday school. We haul the kids out of bed and we make sure they're here. When there are activities at church or school, we're there. When there's a sign-up sheet out on the bulletin board, we're often one of the first ones to sign up. We take part in different activities or areas of ministry. Maybe it's the council or women's Bible study or inquire or volunteer for Jesus Cares or donate money for this or that need. We're here regularly. We might even have devotions at home. Sure, we struggle maybe with some gossip or peer pressure, but we can look back on years of faithful service to the Lord. And then every once in a while, you start wondering, don't I deserve something for serving Jesus? It never seems to work out that way, does it? Loved ones grow ill and pass away. Financial problems loom on the horizon. Some ministry program doesn't blossom and flourish as we hoped and doesn't draw as many souls as we would like. Conflict rears its ugly head in the home between spouses or parents and kids or between members or even with the pastor. Friends move away, prices keep inflating, and it gets harder to daily remain faithful as a Christian in a society that's becoming increasingly anti-Christian. Even friends or family members might wonder, why are you trying so hard? You know, Jeremiah wasn't the first to think he deserved better than he got, and he won't be the last. At some point, we all think that way. You might even find yourself talking like Jeremiah. Come on, Lord! Why don't you come through for me? Why can't something go right? You promised to deliver me. Will you fail me too? And then we blame God for our problems. We forget what we really deserve. What do we deserve? You know, the prophet Isaiah, years before Jeremiah, he wrote this. All our righteous acts are like a filthy cloth. We don't deserve a trophy from God or a blessing or even a pat on the back. Truth is, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all failed God in some way, shape, or form. What do we all really deserve? We deserve God's wrath. We deserve punishment and judgment. We deserve punishment for our sins, for our complaints against the Lord. That's what Jeremiah deserved too. But the God of free and faithful grace doesn't respond that way. He just kind of lets Jeremiah's complaints bounce off of him. Instead, he proves that we receive what we do not deserve. You know, God's response to Jeremiah, it's impressively calm. I don't know if any of us could be that calm getting that kind of a complaint, but yet, this is what our God says. If you repent, I will take you back, so that you may stand before me. If what you say is worthwhile and not worthless, you will be my spokesman. They must turn to you, but you must not turn to them. God made it clear that Jeremiah's complaints were offensive to him. Jeremiah had gone too far, said too much, and the prophet needed to repent for what he said. Nevertheless, the Lord showed his undeserved loving kindness by turning Jeremiah from sin and restoring him. Those complaints were worthless words, so God in his mercy gave him worthy words. Those complaints made him God's enemy, and so God restored Jeremiah to himself with forgiveness and mercy. And then the Lord showed his grace once more. He made Jeremiah a worthy and steadfast proclaimer, a bronze wall against which the enemies of the Lord would crash but not overcome. And then the Lord poured out a promise that surely took Jeremiah's doubt away and renewed his strength. This was a promise anchored in the sure reality of the Messiah, the Savior who is going to come. This is what he said. I am with you to save you and to rescue you. I will rescue you from the hand of the wicked, and I will deliver you from the grasp of the ruthless. Jesus Christ would come to redeem, to buy back, to pay the ransom price for Jeremiah, and not just Jeremiah, but for all people, by his own willing sacrifice on the cross. Jesus would come to conquer the power of sin and Satan and death forever. Because of God's grace, Jeremiah received what he did not deserve. We too receive what we do not deserve. We might sometimes question the mysterious will of God. Why this? Why now? Why this person? Why this place? But still we receive God's grace in Christ. It's amazing when you think about it. When we're at our lowest, Christ's power, his grace is strongest. That's what Jesus was talking about in our gospel reading earlier. Jesus spoke of taking up our crosses to follow him, for that's what Christ expects his church to do. But taking up your cross is only possible because Jesus took up the cross for you first. The fact is, the Lord doesn't promise to give you or me a victorious life right now, as cool as that would be, but he does promise to rescue you and save you even in your weakness. He continues to crush Satan's power with his forgiveness through baptism and through the strengthening of your faith for the forgiveness of sins in his Holy Supper. And nowhere do we see that grace of God more than in Christ crucified, who allowed himself to be defeated to win eternal victory for us. None of us deserve that. None of us deserve Jesus' life as a substitute for our sinful lives. None of us deserve Jesus' rescue, but by the grace of God, we have received it. Peter explains to us, because you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, not with things that pass away, such as silver or gold, with the precious blood of Christ, like a lamb without blemish or spot. In Christ, we receive the grace we do not deserve. Yet like Jeremiah, we also receive the privilege of proclaiming Christ. Now, the fact is, none of us are directly called by God to be his prophets, you know, taking a specific message to a specific people of a specific time. Yet the Lord does call us to serve him faithfully in all of our holy callings and actively take the opportunities he presents to us. He wants us in all those holy callings to utter worthy words that speak of his rescue and ransom and salvation through Jesus Christ. He wants us to continue to turn away from those who would lead us down the path to sin or false teaching. And by faith in Him, we continue to walk in His righteous ways. The Lord does not promise to make life better for us as we take up our crosses, but He does promise to be there beneath the cross with you. He does promise to save you as you carry out that privileged task of proclaiming Christ wherever God has planted you. Friends, Christians don't get what they deserve. I thank God for that. When your sinful pride tries to rear its ugly head again, give it what it deserves, a deadly drowning in the waters of your baptism. And then, through faith in Jesus, return to the Lord, who always gives us far more than we can possibly deserve. Amen.